Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to be looking in chapter 6. We'll be reading verse 9 down to verse 20, the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 9. We'll read down to verse 20. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, what a blessing it is to be in church, and what a blessing we've already received in just singing congregational songs and listening to the message through songs, specials, and we thank you for it. I thank you for each one that made a decision to be in church today. And God, as they have assembled, we have assembled here in your name, I pray that you would help each one to sense your presence in this place. I pray, God, that you would also help each one of us to open up our hearts and our minds, that we might receive that message that you have for us as a congregation and individually. Just pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message to you on based on this passage of Scripture right here on God's design for how we are to view ourselves. Now, get a hold of it. God's design for how we are to view ourselves. How do you view yourself today? Have you ever heard how somebody else possibly has described you? If they're describing your outward appearance, they might describe you as the tall guy or the short guy or the bald guy. Maybe the redhead, the skinny girl. Or, trying to come up with the right words, the heavy-set one. If describing your inner person, they might describe you as being loving, gracious, kind, or possibly moody, mean, stubborn. The person that always looks like they're angry. I don't know if that's how you would view yourself in some of those descriptions, or how somebody else might try to describe who you are. As we look here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, in verses 9 through 11, Paul is describing some of the sins that many of them had yielded to. And as they had yielded themselves to these sins, he's saying, this is what you were. You were yielded to the sin of fornication, then you're a fornicator. Yielded to the sin of idolatry, then you're an idolater. Yielded to the sin of adultery, then you're an adulteress. And he goes on and he mentions all these different sins that have described those that he was speaking to. That's how he was describing them, by how God saw them in their sin. Verse 11, he then describes them after they had trusted Jesus as their Savior. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. In God's eyes, he doesn't see you as an idolater anymore. He doesn't see you as a fornicator anymore. He sees you as being washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is the only thing that can cleanse you of all these sins. But he says, now that you've been saved, he says, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Set apart for God's purpose. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Wow. What a great start to a healthy way of viewing ourselves. See, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you have been saved, then God sees you through the blood of Christ and He sees you as being washed of whatever sin that you were involved in before. God sees you as being sanctified. God sees you as being justified through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're saved, that's how you need to view yourself. Salvation is a choice. We first of all have a choice to believe in a Creator God. That's got to be the foundation before you can ever come to the salvation through Jesus Christ. You have to believe that there is a Creator God who has established His plan for morality, who has established His plan for righteousness. So I have to first believe that there is a Creator God. And as I believe in a Creator God and I look into the very words of God that He has preserved for us, then I see His plan of salvation, and realizing that God's plan of salvation is only through Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago. But that's a choice. You choose to believe in a Creator God, or you choose to believe in the philosophies of mankind concerning where we came from. And especially in this 21st century today, if you're sending your children to public schools and then the colleges of our day, then the professors, and everything is designed to brainwash them into believing that they evolved. Which is a choice to believe. You hear both of them. Praise the Lord for the witness of the church that continues to say that, no, we have a Creator God, and there's one plan of salvation. That salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. The true church has got that message. But today it's being engulfed by the philosophies of man concerning religion and the teachings of evolution. We choose to believe in a creator God, or we choose to believe in evolution. If we choose to believe in evolution, we'll be more apt to yield to the sins of the flesh. Because if we choose to believe in evolution and the morality that evolution evolves into, changes in every generation, if we choose to believe that, then we will, in our own minds, work to discredit God and creation. Well, if there was a God, then why is he let this happen? If there is a God, then why is that happen? If there is a God, and that church is supposed to represent a God, and I know the people of that church, and on and on and on. And so once you choose to reject God and believe in the philosophies of the world or in evolution, then you will set out to discredit God. And the more you discredit God and God's plan for humanity and God's plan for morality, the more apt you will be to yield to every one of these sins. And that's how God sees you at that point. Evolution destroys a right view of ourselves. It destroys the view that God wants you to have of yourself. Verse 13 says, meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That's what God says. The body was not designed for the stomach. We did not evolve around a food source. Now, if you believe in evolution, then that had to come first, the food source. And so it was the food source, and so everything evolved around the food source. And so in this life, it's all about food. We do not live to eat. Some do. Food is everything. When they wake up in the morning and when they go to bed at night, that's all that's on their mind. And most of the time, it's because they don't realize that God has a better plan. Just giving in to the pleasures, and that's something they can control. When life has treated me bad and I've had all the different things, at least I can feel good by just eating whatever I want to eat. Whenever and whatever. The body was not designed for fornication. We did not evolve into being a man or a woman. Therefore, we do not live to be driven by our sexuality. Some are. Some are very much controlled by their sexuality. Some are very much addicted to this way of thinking. It's not surprising with the world and the philosophies of the world today. It's not surprising that obesity and sexual addictions are running wild in the day and age that we live in. Even in children. And it's getting younger and younger. Our children are becoming more obese at an earlier age. And our children are becoming more sex-driven at an earlier age than ever before. Could it be because as we have rejected a creator God and God's plan for mankind, that we have yielded ourselves to the pleasures and the lust of the flesh? For we've evolved into that. It all began around a food source. It all began with evolving into the sexuality that I have. As we look to the Word of God, we find that God has a purpose for how He designed us. God has a purpose for it. So going back to my title for the message as we look here, and what Paul is writing to the church at Corinth that had these very same issues. God's design for how we are to view ourselves. How do you view yourself? How you view yourself will go a long way in what you yield yourself to. Verse 13b At the end of that verse, it says, now the body is not for fornication. God made us sexual for a purpose, but it's not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. In verse 15, he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? The first thing that we look at in the Word of God, in this passage of Scripture especially, as far as how we are to view ourselves as born-again believers. As born-again believers, we are viewed by God as being washed. We are viewed by God as being sanctified. We are viewed by God as being justified. And that's how we ought to see ourselves as we believe in a Creator God. Washed, sanctified, justified. For this purpose. What purpose? To be a member of Christ. Your bodies are the members of Christ. As a member of Christ, we have been designed to be able to love God, worship God, and serve. God designed us the way we are. God designed us as a triune being. God designed us with a physical body. God designed us with a spirit. God designed us with a soul. He designed us with a mind that thinks. He designed us with a heart that feels. God designed us, first and foremost, to be a part of Christ. To be a member of Christ. Matthew chapter 22. Look, follow with me. This is powerful stuff. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus was walking on the face of the earth. They was wondering exactly what is the most important thing for us to do. What's most important about our lives? What are the most important commandments? What should we focus on concerning the life that we have to live as human beings? Should we focus on food? Should we focus on our sexuality? What's the most important thing for us? And Jesus gave this answer. He said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. If you believe in a Creator God, which we ought to, God designed you to love Him, worship Him, and serve Him. Created you, designed you with a heart to love God with. He designed you with a soul to love God with. He designed you with a mind to love God with. He designed your entire being. You didn't evolve. God designed us to be a part, to be a member of Christ. In my own body. And the church, the believers, are the body of Christ, designed to be a member of Christ. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about being a part of the body of Christ. In my own body. Can I tell you, my eyes love my body? They were designed for my body. They were designed to keep an outlook. They were designed so it could give me direction. I can see. And I won't run into this piano right here because my eyes tell me that piano is there. You better step to the left. I won't step off of this because my eyes tell me, look down, there's no step there. My eyes were designed by God to love my body. And so my eyes are not going to lead me into harm's way. My ears were designed to love my body. If I'm out and getting ready to cross the street and I hear a horn blow, I know, whoa, wait a minute, even though my eye might have missed it, I might not have given enough time to see it, but my ear picks up where my eye left off and says, whoa, stop. Do you hear those tires screeching? Do you hear that horn blowing? My ears were designed by God to put in my body, to love my body, to keep my body on a right track. And I can go through every part of my body. And every part of my body was designed to love my body. Amen. God said, I've designed you. As a Christian, you see yourself as washed, separated for the cause of Christ, justified through Christ, and designed to love me. Designed to love me in my mind. Your mind. Is it loving the world? Is it loving the flesh? Is it loving the temptations, or is it focused on loving God? My heart. Designed by God, I can feel. It's a seat of emotions. But is my heart doing what God designed it to do? I have a hunger and a thirst for God. I have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I have a hunger and thirst to worship. Can I tell you, you're here this morning. Praise the Lord. That tells me that you listened. And you're here and you're sitting through the preaching and the teaching. You're sitting through the worship service to worship God. That's your heart. Designed by God. We should view ourselves as members of Christ. Designed by God to love Him. To love Him with our hearts, our souls, and our minds. The second thing that He reveals to us here, if you go back with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, not only should we view ourselves as members of Christ, we should view ourselves as a temple. As a temple. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which if you're saved, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? A temple. God designed it to house not only your spirit. Your body houses your spirit. One day your physical body is going to die. He talks about that there. He's going to raise it up. He's going to resurrect a spiritual body. This physical body is going to die. This stomach is going to die. That's what he's talking about. The physical things about this body will die. But it's going to be resurrected a spiritual body. But God has designed the body today to house your spirit. And when your body dies, it releases your spirit. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. For the born-again believer, to be absent from the body, when this physical body dies, the spirit goes immediately at that point into the very presence of an almighty God. In a place prepared by God. But that's not all. God designed it to house your spirit. But God also designed it to house His Holy Spirit. Thus, we see ourselves as a temple. The purpose for the Old Testament tabernacle. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and they was going to the promised land or the will of God for their lives, God gave them specific designs. You go back and read it. I mean specific designs for the tabernacle. Why? Because the tabernacle was to represent the housing of God. God designed it in the Old Testament. Then when they got into the promised land, He allowed them to build the temple and He gave them specific instructions and a blueprint for the temple. Why? Because the temple then in the Old Testament was to house God. In order to house God, God said, you have to go by my specifications. God designed your body and He designed my body not only to house our spirits, but He designed our bodies to house the Holy Spirit. That's why we're built according to God's blueprints. We didn't evolve the way we are today. My sexuality didn't evolve. God made me a man. Created me that way. Didn't evolve around a food source. No, God gave me a stomach to be able to take and consume food to be able to feed the body. I don't live to eat, I eat to live. Can I tell you, as a temple, we are roommates with the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about that. Have you ever been a roommate with somebody else? Before I got married, I bought a house. And I bought it because it had a detached 2.5-car garage. And I was an auto body and I wanted to make money in the garage. The house was just a side for me. But once I got married, then it became the main thing because my wife entered the picture. But before she entered the picture, I had my own house. And I was doing this and I had a couple roommates. Having roommates changes everything. Because now everything does not evolve around one schedule. It evolves around whoever's living inside the house. And I could clean it up if I was there by myself. But when I come home, it wasn't clean. And because I had two other guys living with me there, and none of us knew how to clean the house. When I started dating my wife, she'd come in, and I would just take a sheet and I'd put it over all the dishes and everything. I didn't do laundry. I just threw them away and went and bought new underwear. I had more money than I had time to wash clothes. That all changed. But my house was different when I lived there alone than when I invited others to live with me. If you're saved, your house is different. It houses your spirit, but now, once you get saved, you are sharing that house with a holy, righteous God. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within your body. Thus, we ought to see ourselves and view ourselves as a temple. Where you go, you take God. What you do, you involve God. What you eat, you feed the body that houses God. What you are involved in different types of sins, he said, that's why this sin of fornication is like unlike any other sin, because that's a sin against your body. In your body, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your body. Don't view it as just you. God's design for how we all are to view ourselves. John chapter 14, look there with me. John chapter 14. Jesus is teaching this to the disciples, and they were used to having Him around, and what a blessing it is to have somebody around that controls the wind, the waves, and the seas. What a blessing it is to have somebody next to you who can just take a little bit of food and turn it into a lot of food to feed 5,000. Who can perform miracles. When you get sick, who can just put His hand upon you and heal you. Amen. I mean, it's pretty nice having Christ with them. But He knew that He had to leave. After He would be crucified, He would resurrect. And then He would ascend into heaven to ever live to make intercession for us. And so He tells them in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." What a comfort it would have been to have Christ walking beside you. Can I tell you, we have something even better. We have Christ living in us. In the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they've not received Christ. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Do you view yourself as having God in you? That's what it is, a temple. God's in you. We have a body. We have a soul. We have a spirit designed by God. Designed to house the Spirit of God. We should view ourselves as a member of Christ. We should view ourselves as a temple, because that's exactly what it is. And then lastly, if you go back there with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. God's design for how we are to view ourselves. Verse 20. You're bought with a price. Jesus paid the price for your sin debt, a debt that we owed and could not pay. He paid that debt for you. Therefore, you are bought with a price if you've received Him as your Savior. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We should view ourselves as being designed to glorify God. To glorify God. God designed you so that you could glorify Him in this lifetime. One last passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, telling the disciples about the will of God for their lives. What a great passage of Scripture. But in verse 16, He says this. Let your light, the light of the gospel of Christ, the light of God living within you, the gospel, the salvation message, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, how you live, what you do, and by that, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We should view ourselves as being designed to glorify God. And what I do, either glorifies God or it doesn't. How I live, either glorifies God or it doesn't. What I think about, God's given you a mind. He's given you the liberty of the mind. He's given you a free will. You can think about whatever you want to think about. You can choose to do whatever you are big enough and man enough or woman enough to do. You can make those choices, and you do make those choices. But are those choices bringing honor and glory to God or not? Do you see yourself as a vessel, as a light that God wants to use to glorify Him? What I do, how I live, what I think about, is it honoring and glorifying God or not? Several years ago, I remember we had a lady in the church that was trying to raise her children by herself. And she had come under hard times, and she was getting evicted from her home. And we was going to help her, and we was going to try to find another, move her into another place. And I remember going there, and I had a truck and had a couple of guys with me. And it was her refrigerator, and so we was going to take her appliances and going to move them. And she lived in, an area that's not a desirable area. But we went into the house. And I remember we got the refrigerator and pulled it out, and I remember looking behind it. And it looked like a black, I thought, wow, mold and everything. I thought it was just so dirty. Pulled the refrigerator out, and it was all black behind there. But then it started spreading out. The roaches were so infested in that house that, I mean, once we moved that, it just a black, and then they went everywhere. And I remember thinking, how in the world could anybody live in a house like this? And I started thinking, what's the Holy Spirit see in my house? When He looks into my mind, does He see nothing but roaches? When He looks into my heart, does He see nothing but roaches? When He looks into my soul, what does He view? What kind of house do you possess? How do you view yourself? Whether you get saved or not will be a choice on what you choose to believe in a Creator God, which is the beginning to find Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or to reject the fact that there is a God and believe the lies of the devil and the philosophies of humanity and accept creation or accept evolution. If you accept that, you will not view your body as God wants you to view your body. Evolution destroys a right view of ourselves. God has given us His design. Are we viewing ourselves as God would have us to? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God's design for how we are to view ourselves. Do you see yourself as God sees you, as a fornicator, as an idolater, as an adulterer, as a thief, as a drunkard? If you're given to these sins, that's what you are. If you trust Jesus Christ, you can see yourselves as being washed. No matter what kind of sins you've been involved in, you can see yourself being washed and forgiven, separated to be used by God, justified. As you see yourself as being saved, you can view yourself then as a member of Christ. You can see yourself and view yourself as a temple. You can see yourself and view yourself as a vessel designed to glorify God. Are you saved? It starts right there. If you're not saved this morning, in just a minute we're going to give an invitation. Many have already come. You can come now. An invitation, an opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to you about. Has the Holy Spirit of God been convicting you about your need to be saved? Today's the day. Don't put it off any longer. Christian, has the Holy Spirit of God been convicting you about your lifestyle, about how you're living, what you're doing? As a saved man, as a saved woman, today, won't you confess and forsake that? Let's live as we were designed by God to live.